This is episode 286 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life so you can love your people, get prepared, and live free. Today's articles are Situational Awareness for Concealed Carry, Does the Family Know, and Conflicted, Never See Family Again, What Would You Do? Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 286. Our first article comes to us from ActiveResponseTraining.net. And again, the title is Situational Awareness for Concealed Carry. So I really like this article. There's some things here that I've never heard before as far as exercises in building your situational awareness. And so I think you're going to like this one. So let's go ahead and get started. Now that most states have a process allowing citizens to legally carry concealed handguns, many of you may be carrying a firearm more frequently or just starting to carry for the first time. A common mistake I see with a great number of my students is an obsessive focus on acquiring and carrying the right firearm and associated gear at the expense of neglecting more vital aspects of self-defense. Carrying a dependable handgun and quality support equipment is certainly important, but when it comes to prevailing in a violent confrontation, having excellent situational awareness is much more critical. If you can observe the pre-attack indicators early enough, you may not even get a chance to use all that gear you have been obsessing over. Winning the confrontation before it starts is always the most prudent option. With that said, I would like to suggest a few drills that I use myself and teach my students. All of these exercises will work magic when it comes to making you more aware of your surroundings so that you can better defuse or prepare for a criminal attack. The awareness game. I adapted this exercise from a similar one described in Jeff Cooper's classic book, Principles of Personal Defense. When out in public, you will undoubtedly encounter people with whom you are familiar. You will see friends, neighbors, coworkers, and associates whom you recognize. If you are truly aware of your surroundings, you will notice their presence before they notice you. When a friend walks up behind you and taps you on the shoulder or calls your name before you are aware of his presence, you are not fully aware of what is happening in your environment. Track every encounter you have on a calendar. Give yourself 1 point for every time you notice an acquaintance before he or she notices you. Subtract 10 points every time you fail to notice the presence of someone you know. If you are still in positive numbers after 1 month, you are doing well. Look for something unique. When you are moving about in public, pick some type of object to look for. Articles of clothing work very well. Try to find people wearing red hats or denim jackets or gold necklaces as examples. This exercise will force you to notice everyone around you. For optimal effectiveness, look for something that men wear because most violent criminals are male. Looking for items such as wristwatches or rings also works very well because it will force you to look at people's hands, the place where weapons are held and attacks are generated. Commentary driving. In the modern world, most of us spend far more time in our vehicles than we do walking. It is important that we not succumb to the tendency to see our cars as cocoons of steel and glass where we are completely isolated from the outside world. While it is sometimes comforting to turn up the music and become lost in our thoughts while driving, it is seldom safe to do so. A relatively high percentage of crimes are committed in or around vehicles. In order to maintain a high level of awareness when driving, I recommend an exercise called commentary driving as described in the book Defensive Living written by my friend Ed Lovett and Dave Spalding. The exercise is simple. During your commute, take notice of your surroundings by forcing yourself to verbally describe everything that you see. Actually verbalize audibly what your eyes are seeing. It should sound something like this. There is a blue car on my left. The light is turning red. I see a man walking a dog on the right. And anything else you might notice. By putting words of descriptions to your thoughts, you will process much more information than usual thereby making you more aware of your surroundings. I also find that this drill works well for keeping yourself awake on long nighttime drives. Escape routes. In addition to being aware of the presence of potentially predatory individuals and groups, everyone should also be aware of all possible options for escaping violent attacks. Set the alarm on your watch or phone to ring at random times throughout the day. Whenever your alarm goes off, look around and determine the best way to escape if you were attacked at that moment. Over time, you will have developed escape routes for almost every location you visit on a regular basis. With enough repetition, you will begin to look for escape routes and areas of safety as a routine part of your day. Firearms trainer Tom Givens describes awareness as knowing who is around you and what those people are doing. That's a simple and extremely useful definition. Instead of finding escape routes, you can use the same random alarm trick I mentioned above to ask yourself the Givens questions. When your alarm goes off, look around and ask yourself, who is around me and what are they doing? If you can answer those questions, you have good situational awareness. These are only a few of the many exercises designed to increase awareness. There are dozens of others. Try one or all of them and be prepared to start seeing things as you have never seen them before. With diligent practice, you will be much more prepared in the event you are targeted for a criminal attack. All right, I think this is a great article here and a lot of actionable items and exercises that you can start implementing right away. I know that the title says situational awareness for concealed carry, but really these exercises are just situational awareness exercises and great things. I mean, how many times do you have those alarms on your phone and you can set them, a couple alarms throughout the day to go off and kind of like, hey, look around where you're at, especially if you are in different places, you find yourself different places during the week. I mean, some of these are really great, and the whole idea of verbalizing, audibly verbalizing what you're seeing. I mean, how many times when you're in a vehicle, you're just driving and you're kind of like on autopilot, and even in your vehicle, it is possible to be situationally aware, and if you're not situationally aware, it is very possible to get into trouble. And so I think this is just great to be able to do this, whether you're carrying concealed or not. Just a lot of things to be able to do to up your situational awareness game and just to increase your skill. And then also doing this with your kids or with your spouse and showing them how to do this and seeing how they respond. And seeing, wanting them to increase their situational awareness. I mean, that's important. I mean, if you're the preparedness person in your family, you know about situational awareness. You are, you understand that. You apply it for the most part. But you also want your family and your kids to be situationally aware as well. I mean, how many people do you see just walking buried in their phone or not paying attention? Those types of things. So great. Like I said, I think this is a great article because a lot of actionable things you can start implementing right away. And situational awareness, I think, is very important, especially in the time and day that we live in. There's just a lot of craziness out there. And so what a way to be safe. So good job over here at ActiveResponseTraining.net. Greg did an awesome article awesome job on this article. Although it's not very long, there's a lot of great stuff in here that you can use. All right, so let's go ahead and jump to our next article of the podcast. And it comes to us from theprepperjournal.com. And I really liked this one because, again, it's practical preparedness that sometimes people would say, and we've talked about this all this week already, common sense. But these are things that a lot of the times we don't necessarily do and we don't necessarily implement, and we should. Or you being the prepared person in your family, you might know this information very well, but does the rest of your family know? So if you are not there, if you are not around for whatever reason, could your family take care of these things? So let's go ahead and get into this one because I know this one applies to everyone who's listening to this. This isn't specific to people who are gardening or people who are concealed carrying or people that all the homesteading or any type of stuff like that. This applies to everyone. So let's go ahead and start reading from theprepperjournal.com. Does the family know? In my planning, I'm confident that I not only know where everything is, but also how everything works in my home, the place I am most likely to encounter a disaster. Useful knowledge when I have to be responsible for myself and anything that might have crawled in when I wasn't paying attention. I had a friend whose neighbor dog had figured out where their dog door was and where their dog food dish was and would on a regular basis drop by for a free meal since their small dog was always overfed and there was food always in its bowl. I can just imagine this, and we have a little doggy door as well. I can just imagine another dog coming through and eating food and then leaving. That's crazy. A habit I thought only in-laws developed. IAC, my homeowner's insurance policy, states I am responsible for all who enter legally. Yes, like everyone else on the planet, I forget things and I have brain farts. Now, where was that thing? But I am better than most, as no job is done until all the tools and materials used are put back where they belong. As a result, I have been called anal often, and I take pride in this label for that reason. I swear my kids as teenagers used this against me to see how often they could screw Dad into the ceiling as a prank. Little time bombs set by simply moving a tool or placing it in the wrong drawer of the tool chest. They had it down to a science, and I admit I was wound a little tight on this subject. I think that's almost everybody, right? Where tools get thrown in the wrong place and you find them somewhere. Oh my gosh, don't even get me started. All right, let's keep going. So I know all the basics. Water shutoff valves, there are always two at the intake from the city to the house and in that box that is on the city's easement by the curb. Though some contractors are clever in disguising the ones on or in the house. Electrical panels, locked with a padlock with several keys available. Gas shutoff, one at each appliance by code and one at the intake from the city system or the on-property storage tank. Alarm systems, motion sensor, lights locations, ammo storage, food and water, and medical supplies and on and on. But what if I am not there when an emergency occurs? Be it somewhat minor, an overflowing toilet, to major, a 6.2 earthquake, and the smell of natural gas. And I will concede that if the overflowing toilet is on the second floor, it changes to major rather quickly. Well, like most preppers, I write things down, take and add pictures to the document, show them to the family, try and keep their attention. Leave your cell phone in your room unless you plan on taking a picture for your own use, etc. I stress that this is important. I note a toilet has two water sources, and the first, connecting it to the water line right there, is the first step, and enough unless this is where the malfunction has occurred. If it is, then the second is here, and you need to go directly to it and turn off the water to the whole house, and not do this as a prank to your older sister when she is in the shower. Children, boys, and girls both need to be shown these things, and do spouses and roommates. This is probably making most preppers smirk and is assuredly making every farmer and rancher smirk, but urban, suburban kids and people don't really know these simple things. Live in an apartment? Do you know where to cut these things off? The I'm not responsible because does not cut it in an emergency. Honest, I blame video games and the cell or mobile phone. And looking for a video on YouTube on how to fix something while it is gushing water or showering sparks is akin to learning to drive a stick shift while driving yourself to the hospital while you are bleeding to death. On a visit to my son's new house recently, I noted that he did not have the self-closing toilet seats on his toilet. And with two small boys post-potty trained, well, this could be life-altering. So I dragged the kids from their electronic devices, took them to the big box store and forced them to go through the whole process, finding the items in the store, picking ones that would work, paying for them, and making it clear that they could have bought two new games for their Xbox for the price. You have to speak their language. Then the fun started. As soon as we got back home, their tendency was to head straight for their electronic additions. While it was like keeping kittens in a circle, I managed to corral them and make them go through the whole process. Then the shock set in. I sent the oldest, 11 years old, to their father's tool chest in the garage to get a pair of pliers and a slot and Phillips screwdriver. Blank stare. I might as well have been speaking Latin. I thought about Cleon, but they would understand that better than me. So a diversion to the garage where we went through the tools. Of course, the small computer tools they knew, and they could swap out a motherboard or video controller with ease, but had not taken the step to transfer this learning to the larger physical world in which we all exist. In any case, I forced them to go through each of the installs to deal with the yuck proper disposal of the replaced seats and then replace them back to their virtual world. Now, all of those who have read this can be witnesses in future lawsuits over the abuse. Well, the same process needs to be done with every prepper's family, in that they need to know the things you know so that they are prepared. Not just the utility and structure things, but how to use all the supplies in your medical kit properly, because you may be the one needing medical attention and you may not be conscious to give instructions. Start as simple as a Band-Aid. When should one be used? Sounds silly? In an SHTF world, even these will become a sought-after commodity, so know when not to waste one. Teach the ABCs, airway, breathing, and circulation. Once they can recognize how to deal with a wound, minor to yucky to OMG, then move on to how to use a tourniquet. Nothing has been more misused in the movies and on TV than the tourniquet, with the possible exception of guns, hunting, and reporting actual news. Sharing the knowledge is always the right thing to do. But one caution, know what you are talking about. Stored ammo boxes. I have some. I don't broadcast their location. They have locks on them. The keys are in my gun safe. Who has that combo? At this point, only me. They will be useless if family members need them when I am not around for an emergency. However, the combo is in trust documents that my kids have. I trust them and they do not live with me, and it is buried in the text. I know, anal, but my position is an unloaded firearm is a club that swings poorly compared to a baseball bat. So some of the guns in my safe are ready for use as they sit. All are treated as if they are ready to shoot. Have a generator for backup power? Does everyone know how to safely use it? How about power tools? Left best to the parents to determine when to introduce these to others. Some would be quite useful should you have to hunker down in place or deal with an emergency without the alpha in the picture. What your family knows can save both them and you. Guys, I know this is a basic article, but I think it's one of those, again, really great ones to get people to understand that we need to take a little bit of time to teach our kids, where things are and how to navigate some of these basic things like turning off utilities and how to do this and how to do that. And showing them and being there and modeling it, definitely very, very important. So I love this idea. I like the idea of that he has I don't like the idea that the guns are locked up in the gun cabinet. So if, let's say, his spouse needed to get to it, I don't know if the spouse knows how to get to the combo of the gun safe. Maybe she does or not, but I don't know. I completely understand about keeping it locked up, especially if you have grandkids coming over it and those types of things. But, I like the fact that he's buried the combination in the trust document. So when the kids get to it, then finally they'll be able to open up and get to all that other stuff there. A lot of good stuff here. Again, just practical information that I think is useful. When we talk about preparedness, we talk about all the sexy stuff. And this is really... this is the real practical stuff that everyone should know. And so, if you are a parent and you have some teenagers, maybe when you're sitting down with them, at dinner or you're sitting around the TV or, however you spend time together, maybe you can ask them a question. Hey, if we needed to turn off the electricity, where would you go? If you needed to turn off the water to the house, what would you do? And then not only that, but, do you have the tools to be able to do that? Where would you find the tools to be able to do that or to turn off the gas, to the house, all those types of things. So, again, like I said, great article. Take some time to walk family members through some of these things. Definitely would be worth it. And then once you install the fact that every house has this, when they get older and they move on to their homes, they'll know to start looking for these things so that they can identify them right away. So again, that's over at theprepperjournal.com, and great article. There's a lot of pictures here, some links that you can check out, and like I said, great article. All right, because this is the Thursday podcast, I always do a conflicted scenario. And this one is going to be a doozy. So here's the thing. I always say not to cheat, right? So cheating would be, I would never find myself in that situation. So you can't do that on this one. So you got to approach this from the fact that you are in the scenario. Now, you know what you know about preparedness. And so you can use that. But you are in this scenario. What would you do? Because again, this one is a doozy. We haven't seen something like this one. So here we go. It's called conflicted. Never see family again. What would you do? Here's the scenario. A gang ransacks your place and their leader wants to take one immediate family member with them in order to avoid retaliation from you. They overpowered you and currently have you and your family members all bound and defenseless. They leave it up to you to make a decision of who they'll take. Once they are gone, there are no guarantees you'll ever see them again. Who would you send with them and why? Ouch, right? All right, so everybody's scenario is going to be just a little bit different because you're taking into account your own family. And let me read that one more time for you. Scenario is a gang ransacks your place and their leader wants to take one immediate family member with them in order to avoid retaliation from you. They overpowered you and currently have you and your family members all bound and defenseless. They leave it up to you to make a decision of who they'll take. Once they are gone, there are no guarantees you'll ever see them again. Who would you send with them and why? All right. Wow. Okay. So, you got a couple of different options here. You can kind of just think that one through and think about what you would do. I would advise, think it through just a little bit more. Try to take it, to extremes there. Maybe if you're traveling with someone and you're listening to this podcast, you can share this scenario with them and you talk it through and see how the other person would come up with that scenario. Or you could come over to edthatmatters.com. I'm going to have it in the show notes. Like I link all the articles in the show notes. And you can come over and drop what you would do in the comment section. The last week's scenario had a lot of comments on that one. So I know a lot of people are enjoying these. But I always read them here on the podcast first before I link them on Prepper website. So you get first crack at it. And first crack at coming and dropping a comment down on how you would handle this. So a lot to think about there. Which family member would you give up, especially understanding that you would probably never see them again. So also on the article at Ed That Matters, I do always link another article that has something to do with this, with the scenario. And so this article is entitled, "These Mistakes Can Ruin Home Security. Protect Your Family by Avoiding These Pitfalls." And so it is linked at the bottom of that article after the scenario. So you can check that one out if you're interested. So a lot of good stuff here. All right, guys. Hey, that was a great podcast. Had a lot of great articles and a lot of actionable information there. And then some stuff to really get you thinking as we start heading into the weekend. We're not at the weekend yet. Still got another podcast episode, the Friday episode. And I always look forward to doing that with you as well. Hey guys, if you are on social media, I'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On Thursday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, I do a Facebook Live on the Prepper website Facebook page. Now, I have links to all of those pages, links to on the show notes and also on the website. So you can get over there and you can like the page and be notified when we go live. But again, that's always on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And so I would welcome you to come and join me over there. Again, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me on episode 286. I do appreciate you. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until tomorrow, stay prepped and aware. Peace.